Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I'm Nick.
And this is your weekly podcast exploring the lives of the great poisoners and macabre murders from across the centuries and creating curious cocktails inspired by the tales we tell. And it's episode 118. Woohoo! Marvellous.
Marvellous. Hooray.
We're here. We're hot because there's a heat wave in the UK. How are you, Nick?
Not as hot as I was. I've cooled moderately.
I'll alert the media.
I think they should. They are desperate to know.
There's a gauge in England. Hot on the temperature, the normal temperature that you'd see, and also the Nick gauge.
Yeah, but then I did feel slightly guilty because there's people on Patreon and stuff like that going, well, it's 47 degrees here. Well.
We have darling listeners around the world who are currently sweltering, well, surviving much better than we
are. Yes, well, they've got air conditioning everywhere.
Maybe they do, or they've just acclimatized, or they complain less than us, or maybe they're complaining more and that's what's helping them. Wherever you are, we hope that you're happy, whether you're hot or cold, or they're combining the two.
Yes.
I don't know, you might be doing some weird sort of sauna ice treatment.
Okay, is that a thing?
Yes.
Right.
In Scandinavian countries.
Good to know.
You go into the sauna, you jump in the
snow. I suppose you do, and then you jump in, yes, that's very true.
No. Yeah, I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
Seems unpleasant.
But then you get to be righteous about it later.
I've got plenty of stuff to be righteous about. It doesn't have to be jumping in around the place.
Yes, but you're well otherwise.
Yeah, I can sit on a sofa and be righteous. It's fine.
Good. Any poisonings this week?
No. Been too busy fanning myself to wonder what other people are getting up to.
All fan and air conditioning salesmen we should poison this week. Jacked their prices right up, haven't they?
I did consider buying a fan, but I thought, well, for like the 2 days it's really hot, do I need to spend 500 quid on a Dyson fan? Probably not.
No, Nick, because no one needs to spend that much on a fan. Just get a fan.
But I thought, well, no.
You deserve fancy
things. I deserve fancy things. And we established just before we started recording. I deserve fancy things.
You do understand that for the 500 odd pounds, maybe, for a Dyson fan, you could probably get an air conditioner.
I'm not going to buy a Dyson fan.
You're going to buy an air conditioner?
Maybe. No, I'm not going to buy an air conditioner. I'm going to go move into my office at work. They've got beds there. I'll just go.
Absolutely fine.
Be fine. Make my own little den in the corner. No one will. It's a big shop. No one will notice.
You're living out everyone's childhood dream. You're going to live in a furniture store.
Yeah, I did that once. Well, I didn't live in it. I did sleep in one once.
Yes, you told us.
Same, which I probably shouldn't have done. In an old job, not my current job, in an old job.
But still, it's coming, apparently, people.
Yeah.
Well, you can always use that £500 to pay me to fan you for a minute because my rates are high.
Yeah, I'll get the Dyson fan.
Marvellous. Well, speaking of fanning your friends for little recompense and sleeping in places that you're not supposed to sleep, I think it's time for us to thank our delicious Patreon subscribers.
We certainly should, and they're a jolly bunch this week. We have a marvellously named Guy Buttersnaps. I like your very good name.
Thank you, Cat Hill.
And to Lauren Manricki, thank you very much for joining us on our very exciting new Patreon adventures.
We love you, Patreons. You're very sexy. You're very, very attractive. Oh, such good chat happening on Patreon. It's so nice over there at the moment.
Jolly.
All of the cyanide connoisseurs on there got a very, very special preview of a very, very special video. But yes, lots of debate, lots of talk. Oh, it was a Kentish murder?
Oh, it was, wasn't it? Yes, that was
Kentish murder.
Oh, it was Bensley.
Bensley.
It was dear old Bensley.
Bensley at the sawmill.
Yeah, Bensley at the sawmill.
There was trouble at the old mill.
There was indeed, and it was a very exciting episode. It was a good one.
Yet still, people are still commenting on the Typhoid Mary story we did last week.
It is also a good story.
The debate rages on. people, that's the place to be if you want to get more Poisoner's Cabinet content every single week and all sorts of extra bonus material. Well, Nick, are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think so.
You're psyching yourself up.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, all right.
Let's go.
To drink cocktails and talk about poison.
Yeah.
Or we could drink poison and talk about cocktails.
This seems preferable at the moment.
It does, right. Okay, the heat and the various conversations we have off air that don't make the final cut but will be on Patreon. Should we go with the first one?
Oh, yeah, whichever one that was, I've lost track. But yes, it sounds like a good idea. I trust you.
Something cocktail-y and chatty.
Something cocktail and chatty. What a lovely way to spend an evening.
Rather than deathy and cocktail-y.
Yes.
That way round.
The first one.
Well, it is Master this week. Hooray, hooray, hooray. But we can't possibly have a story without a cocktail in hand. As you know, dear listeners, every week we choose a secret ingredient that is inspired by the tale that we tell, and it will flavour our cocktail of the week. And this week's secret ingredient is rain. Yes, rain. So rainwater, rain, all sorts of things.
Well, that was an option, but there has been no rain for many days.
No. We have actually picked rain in the middle of a drought.
I think drought is slightly overworking it slightly.
It's a drought, Nick. By the number of bloody helicopters that are flying over our houses every day, watching us for hose pipe usage.
Oh, there was a plane very low today.
Was it?
The roof did rattle.
Oh.
And we all thought, oh, that's very low.
Were you using your hose pipe?
I wasn't. No, I was at work. There's no hose piping in the shop.
Isn't there?
It's a rule.
Just
don't get the hose pipe out on the sofas.
Just rinse the place down a bit. Nick stayed over last night.
Squeegee the walls.
You were just at home with your own hose pipe.
None of that.
Oh, it's Innuendo City in tonight's episode as well. You need to know. With rain. So we could have gathered rainwater, which would be very sustainable.
Yeah, but less exciting in a cocktail, I feel. I don't know if rainwater has much of a particularly unique flavour. I'm not drunk rainwater, I must admit. Does that have a particularly unique flavour?
It's just quite fresh.
To impart
quite,
into a cocktail?
If
well, it depends where you've got it from. If you're just going out and, like, supping from a puddle.
No, that's more standing water.
Yeah.
And that could be wee from an animal.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming it was rain.
Yes.
But you never know. It could be right.
Yes.
But it's not that. Anyway, it's not that.
Okay.
Stop going on about that.
You started talking about it and then you go, stop it now.
You're distracting me with your foolishness.
That is entirely my job. Well, with rain as the ingredient inspiration, what have you come up with?
Well, I thought, where does rain come from?
The Lord. Lord's tears.
So I thought, when do you get rain? I was thinking, when do you get rain?
Oh, is this going to be some really obscure thing that I'm going to punch you in the face for? Some sort of geography lesson about
yes,
where does rain...
because it comes from the ocean.
It comes from the ocean.
And it goes up, so no.
That's, if it's the frickin' ocean, Nick.
that would be a tenuous link, I grant you, even for me. We are having...
Okay.
A three storms flip.
A three storms flip?
Yeah, see, three storms, that's going to be a lot of rain. Most storms are rainy.
Thunder and lightning and rain. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
Give me that one. That's very kind.
A lot of people on social media were going storm, dark and
well,
stormy.
Well, I did think dark and stormy. That was certainly a possibility.
Mm.
And to be honest, I did actually buy the fixings for all dark and stormies. So if this cocktail is dreadful, we can have a dark and stormy as well.
Yay. I like a dark and stormy,
so,
I think.
We have a backup stormy cocktail.
Okay, so a three storm flip.
Yeah.
This was a complicated name.
Somersaulted all over the place.
Now, flip. You've said the word flip.
I did.
That is giving me a hint of something that's in it.
I wondered if you might get that.
It's some sort of eggy-based thing.
It's a custard drink!
Yeah, because a flip has got egg in it, hasn't it?
Mm.
Oh, maybe.
Look at you and your cocktail knowledge.
Yes, 118 episodes. I learned a thing. Where's my prize?
Your prize is an exciting cocktail.
Okay, good. Well, that's the perfect prize. I am excited. I think it is high time for us to hurry away from the storm into the Poisoner's Cabinet kitchen and shake up another storm. See you in a minute.
We'll see you in a bit.
And we're back.
Hello.
Ooh, a three storm flip.
Three storms flip.
Not one, not two, but three.
But three.
It looks exciting and scary.
It does. It looks really cool. I'm liking the look of this.
I would say it would look very cool if I'd never had any of the Golden Cadillac mustard-based drinks that we've had.
I can assure you there is nothing remotely similar to this and a golden Cadillac.
Because it looks very yellow.
It looks very yellow.
And I'll mustard give you that. Sometimes makes it yellow.
Promise you there is no mustard.
Yeah, it does look like custard in a glass.
Yeah.
Which is a
I like
thing.
I like the little, the layery thing going on there.
Yeah, it's a proper foamy layered head. Ooh, three storms. Ooh, they all converged. Flip over and make something lovely and sunshiny.
Hopefully so.
I have high hopes for this, as it's been a quite a while. If we've ever had, have we actually ever had a flip?
I don't think not. We've done them as random challenges and such.
We have.
But never actually, I don't think actually as in a... as a cocktail.
Wow. Okay. First time, possibly. People can correct us. We've had egg-based.
Yeah, egg white. Load of egg whites. But this is flip
yoki,
is...
Yoki-yoki,
which is hence the extreme yellowiness. It has a whole egg in it.
A whole egg?
Just a whole egg.
Okay, not one for vegans, yes. But I think all we can do is dive in. So indeed. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, smoky. Smoky.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't dislike it. It's very smoky.
Yeah, there is that, and that's perhaps slightly too punchy for my taste. So
a little bit too much.
I might have to take that down a bit. I might make this again.
Very nice mouthfeel. Well, second sip's better. Second sip's better because the first sip, there's a lot of smokiness. I'm going to venture that's right. Is there an Islay in there?
There is indeed, yeah.
Yeah, you can't mistake the Islay. No. The first time you taste it, it's all like, oh, you can taste.
Oh, the second sip, as you say, it just it's certainly once your palate gets used to it, it completely mellows it out.
That's a really interesting combination.
That's good.
Because it's kind of smoky fire and then creamy. Mm-hmm.
And well, it doesn't taste of egg.
It doesn't taste.
It doesn't
of egg.
Taste of egg. It doesn't just has a lovely like... smoothness about it.
Ooh, yes.
So you guessed the Islay. You guessed an egg.
An Islay and an egg, and that's it.
Got any other thoughts?
I will say that the Islay is very overpowering mm-hmm. from the first sip, so that unfortunately dulls the senses a bit, and I think that's an issue with this recipe.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not. I ain't lying.
No, I would agree. It probably could be dulled, knocked back a bit.
While I'm stupid, and every time I guess on any of the ingredients, as we all know, after 118 episodes, I go, "There's definitely this in it." No, fuck. Is there anything orangey in there?
There's some orange bitters in there.
Orange bitters, because it didn't taste like it was Cointreau. There's another spirit in there. Is it gin?
No.
Is it none of the cure?
No, it is. It's all the yellow things
it's
I can
all
find.
The yellow thing. Is it fucking yellow chartreuse?
No, it's not yellow chartreuse.
Oh, it's green chartreuse.
There's no chartreuse of any variety
the
in there.
Grand chartreuse. I honestly don't know. Okay. I think everything else is a mystery.
So we have a base. It's dark rum.
Oh.
We have some dark rum. Ugh. Then we have falernum.
The, who and the what now?
So it's a liqueur called falernum.
Did you make this up?
No, it's a real thing. We've used it before.
When?
I can't remember exactly which cocktails, but we've definitely used it before.
This is one of the mystery tapes that has
been
lost.
It is. Falernum is, again, it's a Caribbean spirit. So it's basically a spiced white rum that's got lime and few spices, cinnamon and things like that in it. I mean, it's an old spirit. It's not new.
Why isn't it in my face right now?
I've never really seen it as the main thing of a main body of a cocktail, but always there as a something supportive to try and to yeah
supportive.
It is a supportive sort of to encourage other flavors.
It's your therapy
it's
spirit.
It's always sort of like the second spirit in a cocktail.
It's there if you need it.
It's there. One of those things you would know if it wasn't. Yeah, and then some orange bitters, an egg. The recipe calls for a pinch of salt and also a grinding of pepper. Which is also in there, which I must admit I'm not particularly getting. Again, one of those things, perhaps if it wasn't there, I would notice.
Salt and pepper, you shouldn't taste them necessarily. They should
Yeah, it enhance. Highlights. It is a, yes, indeed. But yeah, and then shaky, shaky, shaky.
Shaky, shaky, shaky. I like it.
Yeah.
We've said it every time, you know, an Islay malt, love an Islay malt. I'm not a fan of them in cocktails.
It's very overpowering.
It's really overpowering. And everything else you said, dark rum, that liqueur that clearly I drank, was so happy about it, forgot it completely. It was like a really good one-night stand. That's all sort of... It feels like it's lost under the overpowering smokiness of an Islay in such a subtle drink.
I say the more I'm getting into it, the Islay is definitely receding.
It is. It's mellowing a lot.
So as your palate gets used to that really... It's, I suppose in that regard, it's a bit like a Campari or something like that. It is this massive oomph of a flavour that just smacks you when you first have it, but that as you carry on, your palate gets accustomed to it, and it sort of melds more with the other flavors and things, which I think is what's happening. But it's certainly what's happening for me anyway in this drink, and I'm finding it very pleasant.
I agree. I've had several sips now. Can't taste the Islay is not as overpowering.
Yep, for sure.
You definitely taste the rum coming through now.
It's one that develops.
It does develop.
Develops on the palate.
I like it.
Yeah, don't think it would be as good without the egg. I think it needs that sort of body, that sort of always creaminess. So if you're not an egg eater or you are vegan or some such, then I'm afraid this is definitely not one. I wouldn't try it without. If you're happy with a raw egg, then crack on. It's really good.
Oh, what, is that an intentional pun?
Well, that wasn't actually, but it's very good. Just realise how funny I am without even noticing.
I do like an egg-based drink.
Because I didn't ask you if you're happy with an egg. I
know you've just through them.
Well, I've seen you knock back raw eggs.
Because you forced me for the entertainment and you declined to. I do want to try, maybe we'll have a mid-break, I do want to try that liqueur on its own.
By all means.
Maybe I did it last time we had this.
We've definitely used it before because the bottle's open. So... And I use it in a Cosmopolitan as well. I know we've not had a Cosmopolitan on the episode, but if I ever make a Cosmo, then I will also use it in that.
Yep, listeners, tell us if we have used it. People who are keeping track, have we actually used it, or did Nick just open it, forget about it one night? The Three Storms bit, I don't understand. Maybe it's tumbly, strange.
Tumbly, strainy.
Smoky. There's smoke in the air.
Yeah.
That's what happens with storms.
Yeah, chickens were terrified, laying all over the place.
And the horses.
There was an abundance of eggs. What do we do with these eggs? They said.
In the middle of the storm.
In the middle of these storms.
Make cocktails. Maybe we should batten down the hatches and protect our loved ones. No cocktails. No. Well, with the Three Storm flip firmly in hand. Oh, would you like a story, Nick?
I would like a story.
Hooray, hooray, hooray. We are going to tell a story this week of a good old-fashioned lady poisoner.
Back to the roots.
Back to the roots. Another Borgia. Of such and such. It's a story that could be tinged with sadness, but I'm going to tell it funny.
Okay.
I will leave it to your judgment.
Okay.
At the end. It's not like I've just gone like, oh, there's terrible tragedy.
Yeah. Has Sinead crossed the line?
Well, you can decide how far up and down the bastardometer she was, as we've talked about before. So this week, Nick, me and this seagull.
You and the seagull.
We are going to tell the story of Martha Wise.
Oh, I know this story.
Do you though?
Well, I know of it.
So Martha Wise. Martha Wise was born Martha Hazel in 1883 in Hard Scrabble.
In where now?
Hard Scrabble, Ohio.
Hard Scrabble.
Tiny hamlet of farms at the time. Not a very nice area. Hard Scrabble also means just rough ground.
Yeah, just rough. Yeah, absolutely.
Of grimness. Mm. And it's a good setting. It's a good setting.
Okay.
Martha is the daughter of a pair of farmers, Sophie Genker, I think it's pronounced, and Wilhelm Hazel. And she has four siblings. Now, this is not a prosperous, wealthy farming family, Nick. No. No. They are poor. Martha and her siblings did not get much of an education, and life growing up in Hard Scrabble is just about as fun as it sounds. It's just toiling and tending the land and being generally miserable all the time.
It wasn't just like over an evening. No, you could only have more than five letters. None of your twos and threes and fours. That's too easy. We play Hard Scrabble here.
I would say Hard Scrabble would be two-letter words the whole time.
Just two-letter words.
Yes.
Oh, that would be bloody impossible.
Impossible?
Impossible Scrabble.
Or Hard Scrabble. So Martha's prospects, let's say, were not particularly positive. It's not looking like a good outset in life. It's going to be a life of working hard and... finding a beau in the area is not going to be, there's not going to be the pick of the bunch, as it were. Now, Martha was described as well as having a pinched face and sunken eyes.
It's never a good description, really, is it?
It's not a good combination, no. Either. Raw-boned, she was called, and...
as a nickname.
No, not a nickname, just...
Martha Raw-boned. I mean, that also sounds dodgy, but...
Where did your brain go?
My brain went into a weird places there.
I don't want to pick this apart, Nick. I'm just going to leave it as it is. I don't know what part of the internet you're going on. Well, she was that. Pinched face, sunken eyes, and simple.
Oh.
Simple. She was not only poor, but she was considered below average intelligence. And she was teased mercilessly for her poverty, for her appearance. She was also apparently a sickly child. Now, there is some indication that she had spinal meningitis.
That's
when she was a child. No, it's not going to help. It's not going to help your mental development. It's not going to help your physical development. But she not only had this illness, but she liked to visit doctors a lot. As a child, as an adult, she liked to go in and say, here's my latest ailment, here are all the things that are wrong with me. And they were like, no, 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 you're fine, you're just a bit weird. That's all we can find that's wrong with you. No, she loved to go to see the doctor and was something of a hypochondriac. Obviously, it had some illness as a child, but she decided she was going to keep playing that card well into her teens and adulthood. Now, I've painted a grim picture.
You have, rather.
But I'm going to lighten the mood, Nick.
I should hope so.
Because at the age of 23... she has high hopes of changing her luck because she is going to go out to the box social.
Well, that sounds like an exciting evening.
Now, Nick, I have to ask you, do you actually know what a box social is?
Is it some sort of a dancey thing in a barn to sort of meet people and... Am I completely up the wrong tree there?
It is a social. Obviously, you go there with the any sort of social at this time is to meet a prospective partner.
Yes.
You may be dancing. No, the box social, this is absolutely true.
They were in boxes.
There are boxes involved.
Oh, good. Okay.
There are boxes involved and they pop out. And...
yeah, it's like Noel Edmonds is there as well. You get husband number four. No, he's shit.
Deal or no deal. It's not dissimilar, Nick. It's not dissimilar. Okay. I think it's a tradition that was started in Vermont, but... you have this social event.
Yeah.
The ladies turn up. Yeah. And they bring with them beautifully decorated boxes.
Okay.
They decorate their box.
One does.
And in the boxes is a lovely meal for two. Oh. It could be a luncheon.
A lovely hamper.
It could be a picnic. It could be a dinner. And they bring their boxes up to the stage or the rostra, wherever they are.
The
wherever
box,
this
box
is happening.
Viewing area.
The box viewing area behind a curtain through a pinhole. And the gentlemen who are attending this social event bid for the ladies' boxes.
Okay. I'm going with it.
We're going to just gloss
we're
over
gonna, the innuendo. Yeah, absolutely. No. What innuendo?
Don't rise to it, Nick. Don't
no,
rise to it.
It's no fine. Innuendo.
They are going to bid for a chance to
bid
chase
for a box.
The ladies' box and have what's inside it. Now, if you're smart as a lady, Nick, if you were up on that stage and you had brought a lovely box.
Oh, glitter. Open the box and glitter fucking everywhere.
Just an explosion.
Explosion of glitter. Like a jack in a box. Someone pops out and punches you in the face.
The guy is knocked out cold.
It's just a pork bar on a spring.
Oh, pork and box. No, but Nick, if you were attending a box social, let's be frank. You're going to be up on that stage and you may have had your eye on a gentleman beforehand. You may have had, there's a beau, potential beau who's coming and you want him to bid for your box.
Well, you want to find out what he likes. Do you want to tailor your box?
You do. Yeah. You want that box to look beautiful. You want to sort of send a signal subtly. This is the age of decorum. You know, we can't just be literally lifting up our shirts while showing our box. It would be too much. We need to subtly give an indication to that gentleman. I would be very happy if you bid for me. And this would be a lovely, lovely date that we had. So you might decorate the box in the colours. But, you know, maybe his sporting team, you know, again, like not Arsenal.
With his name.
just written in blood across the front.
Bob, I love you.
Maybe a little bit more subtle. Think more subtle.
Subtle. Okay,
you
subtle.
You know, perhaps his, in certain states would be his university colours or maybe a big moustache or something. Painting a picture of your favourite cow. And he would bid...
His favourite cow, surely.
His favourite cow. His favourite cow, yeah. You have a mutual favourite cow, clearly. How did this courtship begin? He's going to bid extra hard and heavy for the box. So you get your box out and he goes, oh, I like the look of that. And he pays a lot of money for your box. Then he gets hold of your box and then you both go and eat the food that is in the box. You have a lovely meal together and then marriage, probably.
So I should hope so after that.
It's been a whirlwind.
Absolutely.
What an evening.
With child by now.
It's also a good opportunity for the lady to show what a good cook she is.
Well, it's very true, yes.
Because it's not just the outside.
It's not just the box.
It's what's inside the count stick.
That lovely, lovely pork pie.
The ladies of the time want to show they're going to be good wives, good providers, good cooks. So maybe some lovely sandwiches, maybe a lovely pecan pie, maybe an array of tureens.
A roast goose.
I just still imagine the hottest woman there, the most beautiful, and everyone's bidding for her beautifully, beautifully decorated box, and she sits down and it's just like a dead badger.
It's a packet of hula hoops. Get on with it.
It's a picture of some food. I drew a chicken. Dig in, my love.
See, mine would just be like 50 quid. Oh, we'll go out. Couldn't be arsed. We'll get takeaway. I'll pay.
I'm not much of a cook. I'm a demon in the sack. Can I interest you in this other box? And the magic of romance continues.
Oh, it is romance. Oh, it is.
So there we go. All this has happened at the Box Social.
It sounds great. Can we go?
There need to be more Box Socials. Poor Martha. This is in Hardscrabble, so she is really fighting for supremacy here. She's probably up there with a horse crate that's just filled with potatoes. Maybe she wasn't even part of the box bit. She was just hanging up coats. And everyone was like, oh, well, you'll do at the end. No, apparently she did take part. I'm joking. She did take part. And apparently had some very lovely chicken sandwiches.
Excellent. Ooh, in like the box. Sandwich.
We've had chicken as an ingredient before. We haven't had sandwiches.
I could have had sandwiches. I could have eaten a sandwich.
I could have just eaten a sandwich and had some gin.
I like a sandwich.
I only found out there was chicken sandwiches very late in the day, mate. Okay. But Martha, despite her, I don't know what to call them.
Chicken sandwiches.
Despite her chicken sandwiches, did manage to bag a gentleman.
Well, hurrah.
And he himself, Albert Wise, was not exactly the prize pig on the gentleman's side. He was a lot older than her. Like 20 years on this 23-year-old woman. But the two are wed. They have a courtship. They are married quite soon. And Martha has high hopes that she will now have a happy life as a wife and a mother. She can move away from the farm to his farm. He has a 50-acre farm. Not so much.
No,
he does have a big farm. A big, big, big old farm. And upon arriving, Martha realises that Albert didn't really want a wife. He just wants another farmhand.
Oh.
Someone who is free.
Yeah, doesn't have to pay her.
Yep, carry out free labour. He's not kind to her either. Doesn't even give her a wedding ring, just goes off to work with you. Rude. She had to do all the tasks on the farm that a woman was expected to do and also what a man was expected to do. She would later say, I kept ploughing and hoeing and baking.
Okay.
Hoeing is in with a...
Yeah, I got that, thanks. Brilliant.
All that box talk. She had to do this even while pregnant.
Boo, boo.
She didn't do her chores. Clip around the ear. Yeah. Not treated well.
No, we don't like
well.
You, Mr. Weiss.
We don't like him at all. The first child that she had, Walter Austin, was his name. Some people call him Albert. He did not survive long after birth, which is very sad. I don't know though that was down to all the work she was doing while pregnant. She did go on to have 4 healthy children.
Excellent.
But it's still not a happy time for Martha. Children don't necessarily solve all your problems.
This is true.
But Martha, while toiling and hoeing and baking and looking after children and dodging blows from her husband, has one respite, one thing that cheers her up endlessly. Nothing she loves more on earth than funerals.
Okay. I mean, who doesn't love a good funeral?
I mean, it's good crack.
Yeah, they're great fun.
I mean, that's a whole different kind of box.
Secret ingredient, it could have been boxes.
I really could have.
Yeah.
I don't know what. I think you would have yelled at me if I'd said that.
Probably. I yell at you for most things.
Yeah, funerals. I mean, like Irish funerals are good crack. I mean, fair enough. Like we can drink and sing late into the night, and we're allowed. English funerals.
They're less exciting, really, aren't they?
American funerals kind of depends. Your Irish heritage, so some of them are good, some of them are a bit. Bleh. But Martha, she loved a funeral. She loved a funeral. It was her one source of entertainment, and she would walk miles until her feet were sore. She would attend every funeral in the area within about a 20-mile radius, regardless of whether she knew the person.
Okay, just any old, read it in the paper, funeral of such and such.
Funeral.
Oh, sounds like a good outing.
It's like a new film. She wanted to be out there, right there at the front. And she not only attended them, but she wailed and cried along with all the other mourners.
Okay.
Absolutely gave it full lung capacity, crying, screaming, Irving! Oh, what's his name? Let's read the headstone. Oh, Julius!
Well, if you're going to do it, go for it. If you're going to do it, just go, yeah, absolutely, have at it.
Clearly some sort of outlet for her, which is sad, which is, you know, if she's trying to get stuff out. However, not so great for all the people at the funeral going, who the fuck
this
are you?
This is true. It's slightly distracting from actual grief.
Yes. If asked while she was there, she simply said, I like funerals.
Brilliant. I like funerals.
Didn't try to cover
that's
it for a second.
New catchphrase.
I like funerals. So this went on for nearly 20 years.
Oh, God.
It's true. This is her life. This is Martha's very sad life. You know, just toiling and slaving and raising children. Going to funerals. To get her kicks. Until at the age of 40, Martha finds herself a widow.
Oh.
Now, Albert dies.
She liked that funeral.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Albert dies suddenly. We don't know what of. There is no information on this whatsoever.
Be in his 60s by then. So.
He is. Oh, his life is over.
So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, how has he lasted that long?
He's done fuck all, apparently. Yeah. She's done everything. But he is dead. Big funeral for Martha. But Martha is now free. Free from her miserable husband's control. It only seems to increase her strange behaviour. She just keeps going to funerals. Oh, she's really ramping it up now. Sobbing louder and longer than before. She's giving eulogies for people she doesn't even know. Not really. She's trying to find sympathy for other mourners. Some said that she just was now wandering around the farm at night. Seemingly just not really all there. Turning up on neighbours' doorsteps, wild-eyed, and people said she was foaming at the mouth and barking like a dog.
Perhaps a slight exaggeration, maybe.
Well, I will say at this point, there are some thoughts that maybe she was epileptic. If she had epilepsy, that was undiagnosed at the time, was prone to episodes. Now, not the funeral stuff, doesn't explain that, but the foaming at the mouth. And we don't know, a lot of reports at the time are that she turned up at doctors and she said she had everything under the sun and she would display every symptom that she'd read about, that she'd heard about. So all these episodes aside, Martha is left with four children to provide for. So it is time for her to find a new husband.
Right.
One who would love her and care for her and provide for her and pay handsomely for her box. And also, this is a great time for us to have a lovely sip of our drinks.
I finished mine.
Have you finished yours? Yeah. Do you need another drink?
Maybe.
Okay, well, let's just pause for another drink.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So Nick, we have sashayed away for a little extra drink, and we have mixed up a Dark and Stormy.
Dark and Stormy, very kindly made by Missionaid.
With Nick shouting instructions at me. So hopefully it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good. Tasty goodness.
Oh, that's that is my cup of tea.
Yeah, that's good. Oh,
it's spicy, it's hot, it's beguiling. It's like my box. Back to the story, Nick. Martha is looking for a new husband now that Albert has popped his clogs and shuffled off this mortal coil. And it wasn't long before Martha found what she thought was a perfect match for her. The much younger Walter Johns.
Well, I suppose she has got like a 50-acre farm now. So she comes with a fancy dowry.
She does.
So yeah. So I imagine all the young men are going, oh yeah, I'll get your land.
Well, not so much because she may be a fancy of land, but not fancy of face.
This is true.
And it's a small area. This is a hamlet. People aren't going to come from far and wide. if some guy had ridden in kind of going, yeah, okay, 50-acre land, then she probably would have been falling for it, hook, line and sinker. No, all she does is look across the plains to the farm next door at Walter Johns, a farmhand from the neighbouring farm. And he's much younger than her. We don't really have details of what he looked like, but let's just picture full Diet Coke advert here.
Yeah.
I think we should. We don't have enough hot guys taking their shirt off in Ohio.
He's working on the farm, building up a sweat, all that ploughing.
I'm picturing him as hot. I mean, he could just be toothless and with a gut, and she's like, yes. But Martha was smitten. And she started a friendship with him. Mm-hmm. Definitely a friendship was formed. Was it in fact a relationship? Well, it seems to be. Martha's family certainly thought it was.
Ooh.
And they didn't like it one bit.
Mm. Well, no, mother behaving with a much younger man.
Yes, exactly.
It's embarrassing for the family.
Well, it's not her children. It's her family. It's Sophie, Yenka, the rest of the Hazel family. You know, they live nearby. Obviously, she's not moved away. And they do not approve of this. She is a mother. She's an old woman, really, at this time. Mm. She can't be cavorting with a younger man. She has notions above her station.
You go for it. Cavort away.
Well, we would love it if she did. But she's running around with a lad half her age. Martha's 72-year-old mother, Sophie, and her aunt, Lily, said she must stop this dalliance at once. She must be ashamed of herself. No, they don't approve of it.
No, you can't have fun.
Martha is furious. Mm. She roams about the house, muttering to herself, rows with them again and again and again about she should be allowed to do what she likes, but eventually cowed maybe by a domineering family and years of being told what to do. She finally relents and calls off the friendship. At the end of 1924. Okay, fine. We'll put it to rest. Let's all just enjoy a nice Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, because those family gatherings, they're always so stress-free.
Absolutely. And it's wonderful when the family get together because there's no drama at
all. No dramas whatsoever, absolutely.
Don't you just love, I mean, like for us, it's Christmas, Thanksgiving. How do people do it? How do you do it so close together?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Thanksgiving and then Christmas.
You got November and then December just to see those fuckers again.
Excuse me, my father listens to this. How dare you say such a thing?
Yes, but he's a delight. Even after a while, he's sick of you.
Well, this is probably true, actually. Just leave my house. You've drunk all the booze. Just go.
They all settle down for a nice Thanksgiving dinner. Dinner was not a great event, Nick.
No. Mm. I can imagine it not being.
Aside from the family drama of the night, the food appears to be a little spoiled.
Oh, dear.
Not so great. Nearly all family members are struck by a terrible, terrible illness, terrible stomach pains. Not Martha, obviously.
Well, no.
But the sickness is horrific, and suddenly all of Martha's relatives are incapacitated, complaining of terrible pains, awful symptoms. But one by one, they slowly recover over the course of a week or so, except for her mother, Sophie.
Oh.
Sophie's illness grew steadily worse until a month later, on the 13th of December, she is dead. Died from what doctors call stomach inflammation.
Okay, yeah.
Because that's a diagnosis.
Because that's what it is, yeah.
You can bet your life that Martha was screaming her head off at the funeral, singing her mother's favourite hymn.
Oh, God, yes, that'd be dramatic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, she was singing at
the
top of her voice.
Imagine the wailing there.
But this was not the end. Not the end of the mystery illness that befell Martha's family. No, 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 no. New Year's rolled round. And now Lily, the aunt, who had been so vocal with Sophie in her disapproval of Martha's choices, was suffering from terrible stomach pains again, as was Lily's husband and all of her children.
Oh, dear.
In an odd twist of fate, the children survived the ordeal, barely. But Lily and Fred were dead by February 1925. The Hansel Genka clan could not escape this wave of misfortune that seemed to be targeting this extended family. And as the year went on, more and more relatives were struck with terrible sickness, their stomachs burning, roaring with pain, until a total of 17 people in or close to the family fell ill that winter.
That was pretty good going. Christ.
Four children were partially paralysed by this sickness. Doctor's verdict?
More inflammation.
Food poisoning.
Food poisoning.
Obviously it's food poisoning.
Well, it probably was the food. and the food was indeed poisoned.
I mean, they were right.
So, yeah.
I mean, you're leaping to conclusions there, aren't you?
I am. Getting ahead of myself there.
I am a doctor of the time. You're leaping to conclusions, Dick. I believe it is angry stomachy death. It's ginger. That's the problem. They all ate something bad. Really? They did. No need to investigate or intervene. As the deaths went on, 17 people is going to draw the attention of the authorities.
Yeah, of someone. Yeah.
they won't go unnoticed for too long. Maybe a little too long, if you ask me. But they start wondering why so many people of one family are getting ill. It's not until the final few adults in the family get sick where the doctors go, maybe we should test for some stuff.
Maybe there's a link.
Maybe there's some sort of link. At the same time, weirdly, there are also a lot of fires.
Oh, right.
Lot of fires happening around hard scrabble.
Okay.
By unknown assailants.
Right.
Unknown means, unknown causes, but there are fires nonetheless. Also, jewellery and tools from farms are going missing.
Okay. Sounds like an exciting place to be.
It is. This is nothing that they've ever had to encounter before.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun going on there.
So the doctors begin to test the most recent victims of this illness, as it were, and they find suspicious substances in their body.
Fire
is the cause. Inflammation, it will do it.
Exactly.
The press get hold of the story, and the area is in a panic. The Cleveland Press write, "The ghost of a series of wanton murders apparently directed at the extermination of a peace-loving and industrious family today arose from the mud and slime of hard scrabble to add its ghostly name to Ohio's record of crime."
Okay, nice.
That makes no sense.
they went for it, though.
It's just words.
There's a lot of words going on there.
Some things have happened and it's bad. Another headline read, "Super killer hunted in Medina County."
Super killer.
Brackets. Super killer is a murderer who kills for the mere joy of killing.
Oh, it's a technical term. It's a technical term. Right, it's a dictionary definition of a super killer. In the headlines. I like the brackets. Super killer should come back.
It's not just any killer. It's a super killer. Looking into the desk, the hard scrabble sheriff decided to pay a visit to the local druggist to have a look at the sales register. Just, you know, on the off chance, maybe. It's probably nothing.
Anyone bought any fire recently?
Exactly. Just who's bought flame? And we'll just look through. Oh, wait. So someone named Martha Wise has written a name in very big print.
A lot of times.
Has bought a terrifying amount of arsenic!
What is it, arsenic?
Arsenic alarm! Arsenic alarm! Arsenic alarm! Oh, there it is. Martha has indeed been to the druggist to buy an awful lot of arsenic repeatedly. Reportedly to kill rats.
Of course.
On her farm. Rats. She goes in and says rats.
Those family, those damn rats.
She probably says that. Oh, I have to kill my family. I mean rats. They're
vermin. Is it called? Kill my family. Rats in brackets. Rats.
Super killer.
Super killer.
So he's reading all of the parentheses that are put in there, like, okay. Oh my God.
Oh my God, rats.
Rats. No, wait, it's her. Let's just read it again. It's confusing. But the authorities come to see her and she denies any wrongdoing. How dare they accuse her? And they go, okay, well, in the meantime, we're just going to dig up Aunt Lily's body and just make sure everything's fine. And of course, Aunt Lily's body is riddled with arsenic. It is in the stomach. It's in the digestive tract. That'll be the bloody cause of the inflammation.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Thank God someone pointed that out. Not the doctors at the time. So Martha is brought to the police station to speak to the sheriff, Fred Roshan. Now, the sheriff's wife, Ethel, sits in on the questioning.
Right. Why?
Oh, she has tactics, Ethel.
Okay.
She's very important.
I'm intrigued what you're going to do, Ethel.
Sheriff is questioning Martha, and she's denying everything. When she's brought in, she is weeping, she is wailing. "My heart bleeds for them," she says. "It must have been a monster that would kill them, the members of her family. My poor innocent mother, why would they kill her? I sometimes think they were poisoned by accident, because I cannot imagine anyone being so terrible."
It's all very fair. Points.
The sheriff is there going, "We know you've bought a lot of arsenic and everybody's ill and dead." Then Ethel decides to try a bold tactic.
Oh.
To this clearly disturbed yet stubborn woman. While Martha is being questioned, it started to rain heavily.
Oh, rain, yes, rain. I was wondering where that was going to come in.
Raining heavily on the police station, hammering the roof, hammering the windows. And Ethel leans into Martha and says, "Listen, Martha, the rain, it is the voice of God. And it says, You did it. You did it. You did it. You did. You did. You did. You did. And that's all it needs for Martha to crack.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Martha, come on.
Breaks down and confesses, oh, God, I did it. Yes, I did.
I mean, what? Ethel is some sort of genius going on there. Some sort of psychological mastermind.
Uses the rain to break her. I wonder how many times Ethel used that over the course of her husband's career.
She's been in every interrogation for the past 20 years. Yes, it worked. It worked. I told you it would work.
Everyone brought in. Listen, Lorraine, Ethel, no. Lorraine says, you did it. You did it. Fuck off, Ethel. Now, this is still a tactic I'm going to use every time that we need to have an argument. Listen, Nick. Lorraine, it's the voice of God, and it says, more Negronis, more Negronis, more Negronis.
Oh, that's very good. Oh, Ethel, the hero.
You can't believe that worked. But yet Martha pours out her confession in the station. She says these wonderful words. It was the devil who told me to do it. He came to me while I was in the kitchen baking bread. He came to me while I was working in the fields. He followed me everywhere.
Wow.
She revealed that she had put arsenic in the water buckets and the coffee pots of the family home every time she visited, and she warned her children only never to drink any of the water in the family's house.
Cool.
She also admitted to starting fires around the town, saying, I like fires.
I like fires. I like funerals. I like fires.
She said a little bit more. She also said, they were red and bright, and I love to see the flames shooting up to the sky.
Right. Yeah, I think Martha has some issues.
She also said she saw the devil in the flames.
Mm, one does.
She says as well about why did she target the family. Well, she said that the family had told her she had no business wanting to get married again. That her mother and her aunt had told her she was old and ugly. Yeah. And they laughed at me.
Family have not been very nice. And perhaps not to warrant such extremes, but they have not been pleasant.
They've been brutal with the truth.
Why? Is that the truth? I don't know. She's a woman. She's found someone. Gone for a younger man. The younger man wasn't a younger man. Mm-hmm. He was fully engaged with it.
No.
Well,
I think it will later come out that Walter was not okay with this. Well, maybe not the truth, but still, she didn't like it. She was entitled to remarry.
Absolutely.
But at the time, it was not the start of the time. And she said, then the devil said, kill them, and I did.
Okay, that's less good.
So Martha is unsurprisingly brought to trial. She's put in front of the grand jury before she stands before the murder trial in March 1925. And she is branded in the press, of course, the Borgia of America.
Meh.
Of America.
That's a bold claim.
To be fair, she has poisoned 17 people.
She's poisoned more people than Lucretia Borgia did.
So it's fair.
It's, yeah, absolutely.
Lucretia Borgia should be called the Martha.
Yeah, the Martha of Italy.
Which sounds weird.
It doesn't have quite the same ring to it, does it?
It's very Gilead kind of thing, yeah. But oddly, when she gets to trial, she decides to plead not guilty when she actually gets to trial. In front of the grand jury, it doesn't really help her case. She says to the jury that she loved funerals so much that when there weren't enough, she was forced to kill to make more.
It's not a great thing to say in court, is it?
Not so much, no. Yeah. So unsurprisingly, the defence, when she is put on trial for the murder of Aunt Lily, that's the one they put her on trial for, they go with insanity.
Yeah.
Very much hammering that home.
I think they're probably right to do so.
That bitch crazy. No, the other side are like, no. She knew what she was doing. They try to implicate her boyfriend, allegedly, Walter Johns. Ooh. They try and say the sexy, sexy man who she was in a relationship, he was responsible. He was telling her to commit these crimes. He put it all in her head. He says, no. I was not really interested in Martha at all. I was just around because I felt sorry for her.
Oh. Well, that's not what you want to hear, is it?
There's other reports that claim that he did have a sexual relationship with her and that she barked like a dog during sex.
Okay.
It's not the loving marriage-based relationship, possibly, that Martha thought in her head was going to happen.
No, definitely not.
I think he was maybe having a bit of fun and...
Well, if they're having enough fun that she's barking like a dog, then you fucking go for it, love. You're having a great time. You have at it. You crack on.
But he didn't convince her of murdering people.
Yeah, I probably agree with that.
So in the trial, Martha's own children came in to testify against her. Her son, Lester, who's about 14 at the time, said he heard her talking about poison with a friend and that she had warned him not to drink any of the water in the Genka house. So not looking good.
No.
Even worse, the Genka children who have been poisoned are brought into court to give evidence on stretchers.
Oh, God.
Like, they're not, they can't bloody walk or say anything. Like, yes, that bitch did it. Like, and they're children still. Not a good day for them. The defense had no chance. A lot of their witnesses fall apart. They have one family member who's going to testify in favor of Martha. She commits suicide. Her husband collapses as a result. They also had a witness who, under cross-examination, revealed that he had been convinced by the defense to lie and say that Martha was insane. So it's all just an absolute shambles.
It's a big
Martha,
old mess.
Her own testimony on court, I don't have it, but it didn't help.
It's not going to be good, I imagine.
It's just her barking and showing her books.
Setting fire to the courtroom, so it's not going to be.
Yeah, just
the judge's hat.
The jury took less than an hour to find her guilty for murder, and she is sentenced to life because the jury did urge for mercy.
Yeah. She's obviously not well.
She's not well.
She's not well.
She knew what she was doing, but she ain't that crazy.
Yeah.
So she is sentenced to life in prison. In jail, Martha was a model prisoner.
Mm.
She worked hard. She was obedient. She was dutiful in all of her tasks. She seemed to thrive, really.
Well, it's that structure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're having that structure and you're not having to prove yourself or do anything to get your meal or whatever. It's all very laid out, isn't it? So
very much organized.
Yeah.
She was so good in prison that even though she'd had a life sentence with very strict restrictions around it, that the governor commuted her sentence to second degree murder that allowed her to be paroled at the age of 79.
Wow, impressive that she's going that long.
Yep. So at the age of 79, when she's released, she leaves jail, but she finds that her family have completely shunned her.
Yeah.
No one's going to take her in.
It's not going to be an easier life outside, is it?
Her reputation as a prisoner has preceded her. She is turned away from homes for the elderly, any place that she could take shelter, boarding houses. After 3 days on the outside, Martha voluntarily went back to prison.
Yeah, so it's not... Yeah. Probably not much of a kindness, really, at that age to kick her out of prison where she's been, yeah, used to this structure for so many years.
Went back to prison. She carried on. Her sentence was changed to allow her to stay in prison, and she stayed there and died in 1971.
Oh, wow.
Aged 88 years old.
Gold.
And that is the story of Martha Wise, the Borgia of America.
That's very good. We've definitely not done that story before.
Yes. I'm so glad we haven't done that story.
But there's another Wise one, which I think is a German one.
Yes.
Which I think was where the confusion has come.
And we've also done two Martha stories.
Yeah, so definitely not come that one. That's a very good story.
That's a good story.
That's a good one. I like
and
that.
And there was another story that we did where someone liked funerals as well, but not as much as her.
Not as much. I don't think anyone's liked funerals as much as her.
So there you go. That's the story of Martha Wise. So I said at the beginning, is it sad or not? Because she tried to kill 17 people.
Yeah.
She definitely killed two. It's hazy. Some other people may have died.
It is sad. I mean, it's sad because obviously she was a very unwell woman.
Yes.
Oh, yes. So there's definitely she was a poorly, poorly woman. Mm. And that it came to that is obviously desperately sad that it came to that. Also, I think she was not treated well. She did not have a good life.
No, she did not have a good life.
Which probably exacerbated what she ended up doing. But of course, no, it can't be forgiven. But there is, I do feel there is some sympathy there. And obviously the jury said that because they were asked, they recommended mercy, so they recognised that it was a sad case. Really, it was a very whole thing was a very sad affair.
She clearly had mental health issues.
Oh, for sure.
From when she was younger, there were every indication that there were health issues that were never diagnosed. They never would have been diagnosed.
Absolutely.
In this literal kind of tiny, tiny town and area in the middle of nowhere, she was not going to get the help she needed. And she was just like, yeah, you work on the farm and you carry on and you just do this and you get married and you work on the farm and you do this. And like, oh, you're not going to have a happy, blissful life.
No.
However, when she clearly had enough at one point and then decided to crack and then thought, oh, this poisoning thing is a really good idea.
Yeah, but I can say she's had this horrendous life with obviously this man who is just using her as labor, and he dies, and she thinks, right, okay, now is my time to live and to have my life that I should have had. Mm. And her family go, fuck off, you're really old.
It's a slight probable delusion that the young man, like, yeah, probably, absolutely, he showed her some attention, probably thinking, like, oh, she's rich, she's got a farm. And mistakenly thought, oh, this is it, and you're all against me, so if I poison you, I'm going to get my revenge against you. Mm. I'm going to take all my aggression and anger. But the entire family,
that was an extreme reaction.
And the children as well. Yeah. Horrific enough to poison one person, but the entire family, indiscriminate of age and guilt in any involvement. Maybe. Yes, that's what comes of going to a box social.
Oh, yeah, well, indeed, it's a dangerous place.
It's a dangerous place with the chicken sandwiches.
Absolutely.
What do you think, people? Do you know the story of Martha Wise? Are you from Ohio? Do you know Hardscrabble? Do you know the area? Have you passed through it? Is it still there? I think it is still there, according to the map.
According to the map, it's still there.
I zoomed in on it a lot and went, oh, okay. Oh, well, there it is. Tell me the local history of it. Tell me the ways of the place. I did look up pictures of it, and I found pictures of graveyards and derelict buildings.
That's what there is.
So it sounds awesome. Let's go there. Do you know the story? What do you think of Martha? Do you think she elicits sympathy? Do you think it was just an awful situation for a woman who probably had mental health problems in an area that just was not equipped to deal with them? But also, she tried to kill a lot of people. What do we think of the morals of this story? Jump on the comments of wherever you listen to this story, on any of the platforms and on social media, if you're on it. Tell us what you think in private messages, or share it amongst your friends over a dinner party. Swill a brandy and tell them, oh, by the way, I heard this very fascinating story. Maybe you should talk about it. Maybe we should discuss it. Yep. But most importantly...
Well, I was going to say, you shouldn't be swilling a brandy. You should certainly be swilling a flip.
Well, if you swilled a flip, it would go over their faces.
This is, well, less vigorous swelling.
That's more of the box social. That's what happens.
But yes, do try the Three Storms flip.
We downed it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we they went down very well. So the recipe will be out this evening. We've also had Dark and Stormy's, because why the hell not? Mm. So I might put the recipe out for them as well. Let's go mad. Mm. Let's have two cocktails today.
There's always room for a Dark and Stormy. Always it's a classic.
Yeah.
Flip. I like a flip.
Yeah, flip. Absolutely. Mm. If you like an egg, if you don't mind a raw egg, then have at it. It's really good.
And we recommend you do try it. Feeling on the fence, if you're kind of like, ooh, raw egg, I'm not sure about it, you need to give it a go. You're not going to get raw egg taste or feeling. It's not
absolutely
slimy.
Not.
It's none of that. It's beautiful. It is in cocktails for a reason.
Yep, absolutely.
So use as an excuse. Get brave. Down a few whiskeys beforehand, down a few Dark and Stormies, and then have an egg flip, which is a bad way to end an evening, actually, I feel like, with a nice eggy drink. Start the night and then see where it leads.
Yeah.
And tell us what you think. If you are trying a vegan alternative to this cocktail, text us and
message
let
us know. I suppose there is a vegan egg alternative.
Yeah. Does it work?
In a slightly side note, I have tried to make a white lady with aquafaba before.
You have.
It doesn't really work. I don't know if there's a vegan alternative for like egg yolk
as well.
Give it a go. Well, let us know how it goes.
The whole point of an egg yolk and egg white is mouthfeel, not taste.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
So if it gives you the mouthfeel, do it.
Yeah.
Much like the box.
Sad.
And meet us at the box social later with your drinks and your fancy decorated boxes.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to make a box.
How would you decorate your box? Send us pictures, guys. Not that. I've just thought it through. Thanks for listening, guys. We have been the people inside the poisoner's cabinet. We will see you next week. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.